Welcome to the deep dive. So today our mission is basically to kill the pixelated, hostile-looking invoice.
Yeah, which is honestly a space that is so desperately in need of reimagining right now.
Right. I mean, we're using the official GitHub repository and the landing page of this modern open source tool called Invoicely. And we're going to understand how they're taking the friction, the cost, and just the sheer visual ugliness out of getting paid.
Because when you deal with financial records, you're dealing with strict legal requirements, audit trails, data compliance, serious stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And the traditional approach to this has just been incredibly stagnant for, well, decades, really.
Yeah, stagnant is a good word for it. And that stagnant approach usually involves, standardizing your entire business on these massive, really expensive proprietary ecosystems.
Like the big tech giants.
Exactly. Think about the hefty monthly software as a service fees that organizations are paying out to companies like Microsoft or Google.
Or even those dedicated accounting SaaS platforms.
Yeah, right. Just to have the basic tools to generate and send a professional financial document. I mean, it just drains the budget.
It really does. And more critically, it raises a massive question about data sovereignty.
Right. Who actually holds and controls your financial data?
Exactly. Which is exactly why we are so thrilled to have SaveServer supporting today's deep dive. Data sovereignty is, I mean, it's the defining issue for modern organizational admin today.
It really is. You need absolute ownership of your financial data. You shouldn't be renting space for it on a tech giant's server where you're subject to their terms or, their sudden price hikes.
Or the regional compliance nuances, yeah.
Right. And SafeServer solves that specific headache for you. They basically help organizations find, customize, and implement the right open source solutions for their specific operational needs.
So they handle the whole transition.
Yeah, from the initial consulting phase all the way through to secure, fully managed operation. And the key here is it's on servers located strictly within the EU.
Which is huge for compliance.
Exactly. It's all about replacing those costly locked-in subscriptions with robust, free open source tools. And you don't sacrifice an ounce of security.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So you can find out more about how they engineer these transitions at www.safeserver.de.
And, that desire to truly own your own infrastructure without being beholden to some massive monthly fee, that is the exact philosophy driving Invoicely.
Totally. So let's look at their primary marketing pitch, because the landing page, it really doesn't bury the lead with a bunch of financial jargon.
No, it doesn't.
It simply says, create beautiful invoices, not ugly ones.
I love that because addressing that visceral pain point right out of the gate is such a smart strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've basically culturally accepted that financial documents are supposed to look like they were generated by like a 1995 dot matrix printer.
Oh, absolutely. Just a dense wall of tiny text, some chaotic line items.
Maybe a really badly distorted JPEG of a company logo if you're lucky.
Right. It's this purely functional document that somehow manages to look, I don't know, actively hostile to the person trying to read it.
Yeah, and it induces stress. But Invoicely backs up this aesthetic focus with a really compelling operational claim in their documentation.
Oh, what's that?
They highlight that professionally designed, visually appealing invoices actually increase the chances of clients paying you promptly.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Right. The psychology of presentation in business transactions is super well documented. A professional invoice serves as like the final touch point of a professional service.
Yeah, I mean, if you deliver world-class consulting work and then send the client some poorly formatted Word document that you just exported to a PDF.
Exactly. It subtly undermines the perceived value of the work you just did because you're introducing cognitive load.
Cognitive load, right.
The client has to hunt around for the routing number, they have to squint at the tax breakdown, decipher your payment terms.
It's exact.
But a clean, deliberately formatted invoice removes all that subconscious friction. It communicates competence all the way through to the final transaction.
Basically, it doesn't make the client actively angry while they're trying to process your payment.
Exactly.
And, for anyone listening who is maybe running a startup or a community association or even a freelance business, the most compelling feature here is the pricing model.
Oh, yeah.
Because the sources explicitly state this tool is completely free and unlimited.
which is wild.
Right. No hidden costs, no limits on how many invoices you can generate or send. Having this software in your stack is basically like hiring a dedicated billing clerk.
Yeah, a billing clerk who happens to have a background in high-end typography.
Exactly. Who works 24/7, never complains about volume, and never asks for a salary.
It sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. Whenever a piece of software promises beautiful design, unlimited utility, and zero cost, my immediate assumption is, okay, the user is the product.
Right. How are they monetizing this?
Exactly. So I went into the documentation looking for the catch. Like, are they scraping my client list for marketers?
Are they training an AI algorithm on your billing cycles?
Yeah, exactly. But their documentation actually tackles the privacy questions super aggressively. They explicitly state, your data stays yours. We never track, sell, or share it.
Wow. Very clear.
Yeah. And because the architecture is open source, the user gets total deployment flexibility.
Meaning you can run it yourself.
Right. You can spin it up locally on your own machine or host it securely on a server of your choosing. You aren't being forced to route your client's financial data through some black box corporate server.
Which ties right back into that data sovereignty concept we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. But looking at the actual GitHub repository where the community builds the software, the rules governing how the code is developed are honestly fascinating.
Yeah, the community guidelines are really strict.
They are. I saw this very stern warning right at the top of their contribution guidelines regarding pull requests. It reads, caution. We do not allow vibe coding.
Vibe coding.
Yeah. Your PR will be rejected if the code quality is poor and vibe coded.
That is such a specific term.
I know. And I initially assumed vibe coding just meant like no slobby late night caffeine fueled hacking.
Right. Like throwing code at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah. But looking deeper at their strict pull request rules, it seems they're actively fighting against a very modern problem, which is AI-generated spaghetti code.
Yes. That is the exact threat vector they are mitigating here. Vibe coding has become this really pervasive issue with the rise of large language models in development.
Okay, break that down for me. What does that actually look like in practice?
So it basically describes a developer who prompts an AI for a solution, gets an output, copy-pastes it directly into the code base, and pushes it to production.
Oh, wow. Without checking it.
Without actually understanding the underlying mechanics or the edge cases, they just do it simply because it's successfully compiled.
So the vibes are good because the terminal didn't throw a giant red error.
Exactly. The vibes are good, but the actual architecture is completely brittle.
Which is catastrophic if you're building an application that handles, you know, tax calculations, routing numbers, sensitive client databases.
Completely. In a financial application, vibe coding is a massive liability.
Hmm.
By explicitly banning it in their repository rules, the maintainers are establishing this culture of enterprise-grade rigor.
That's a great way to put it.
Because, you know, there's this lingering misconception in some corporate IT departments that open source just equates to a chaotic free-for-all where literally anyone can alter the code.
Like Wikipedia, but for software.
Right. But true open source development is about ultimate transparency, not amateurism.
And we actually see that rigor enforced mechanically throughout the repository. They don't just ask nicely for good code. They enforce strict branch naming conventions.
Right. You can't just call it whatever you want.
Exactly. You cannot push a feature branch named like My Cool Update. It has to follow a very strict programmatic structure, like profile name, feature name.
Which keeps everything organized.
Yeah. And furthermore, contributors are physically blocked from pushing database migrations themselves.
Huh, interesting.
Every single proposed change requires a mandatory review from at least one core maintainer before it gets merged.
So that peer review bottleneck acts as the firewall.
Right.
The broader community can propose optimizations or new features or bug fixes, but those core maintainers are the ones who actually verify the logic.
They're the gatekeepers.
Exactly. That strict pipeline ensures that no rogue code, no poorly optimized query, and certainly no malicious data scraping dependency ever makes it into the final release build.
Which is exactly what you want for your billing software. But, you know, to successfully enforce a no vibe coding mandate, you need a development environment that physically rejects bad logic.
Yeah, you can't just rely on human code review catching everything.
Right. Humans get tired. And that brings us under the hood to the actual technology stack they're utilizing. Because for a free tool, the architecture they've assembled here is just a masterclass in modern high-performance web development.
It really is.
They are building on Next.js 15 and React 19.
Right. And choosing Next.js 15 specifically indicates they are leveraging the absolute bleeding edge of React features.
Like what, specifically?
Well, specifically around server components and streaming. They aren't relying on some legacy framework. They're optimizing for incredibly fast time to interactive.
Okay, and why is that so important here?
Because it's crucial for a web-based dashboard where users are rapidly inputting financial data.
Yeah.
It has to feel snappy.
That makes sense. And then for the visual layer, they're using Tailwind CSS paired with Shad GNUI.
Yes, which really explains how an open source project without a massive payroll of expensive UI designers still manages to look like a premium corporate product.
Right, because Shad GNUI isn't even a traditional component library that you install as a dependency, right?
Exactly. It's a collection of highly accessible, beautifully designed components that you copy directly into your code base, and then you customize them with Tailwind.
So it gives the developers total control over the markup and styling.
Yes, while still providing a baseline of world-class design and accessibility. And Tailwind's utility-first approach ensures that the CSS scales predictably.
So it doesn't just become a tangled mess of overlapping style sheets as the project gets bigger?
Precisely. The result is an interface where every modal, every input field, and every single typography choice feels deliberately crafted. And they do it without requiring a dedicated design team to constantly audit the CSS.
It's so efficient. Yeah. But the data layer is where the architectural choices get incredibly specific, I think.
Oh, definitely.
They're using Drizzle ORM to interface with Neon Database, which provides serverless PostgreSQL.
Yeah, and Neon is a phenomenal choice for this specific use case. Because it is serverless PostgreSQL, it separates storage and compute.
Okay, explain that for a beginner. What does separating storage and compute actually mean for the user?
It means the database scales automatically based on demand. So let's say a freelancer sends one invoice a month. The database scales down to zero, consuming almost no resources.
Wow.
But if a medium-sized enterprise uses it and generates 10,000 invoices on the first of the month,
the system doesn't just crash.
Exactly. The underlying compute scales up instantly to handle that massive load, without the user ever having to provision or manage back-end servers themselves.
That is incredibly powerful. And then Drizzle ORM acts as the translator between the Next.js application and that database, right? Enforcing strict type safety.
Yes. And type safety with Drizzle ORM isn't just about, like, making sure you put a square peg in a square hole.
How so?
It's more like having a grammar checker that physically refuses to let you hit send on a sentence that doesn't make logical sense.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah. So if a developer tries to write a function that, say, inserts a text string into a database column that's strictly reserved for currency decimals,
the code simply won't compile.
Right. The error is caught in the developer's terminal before the software is ever run. It completely eliminates a massive category of runtime bugs.
So when you combine that serverless scaling of Neon with the compile time guarantees of Drizzle ORM, you create this incredibly resilient backend.
Absolute.
But what about the actual invoice artifacts, like the generated PDFs themselves? For that, they utilize Cloudflare R2.
Which makes perfect sense when you look at the economics of open source software.
Right, because Cloudflare R2 offers S3 compatible object storage, but famously without those exorbitant egress fees that traditional cloud providers charge.
Yeah, the egress fees are usually what bankrupts these kinds of projects. When you are promising users unlimited invoice generation, you need an edge storage solution that won't ruin you when users start downloading thousands of their PDFs.
Exactly. So to manage this entire architecture, they organize the code base as a monorepo utilizing Turbo.
A monorepo, yeah. Because the friction of managing front-end applications, database schemas, and shared configurations in separate repositories, I mean, it can completely stall a community-driven project.
Oh, for sure. And in their project structure, you see this really clearly. They have an apps web directory for the Next.js frontend and a packages DB directory for the Drizzle schemas.
Right.
Using a monorepo setup is pretty standard practice now, but the addition of Turbo is all about speed.
Because Turbo caches the build outputs.
Right. So if a contributor updates, say, a single button component in the front end,
Turbo knows it only needs to rebuild that specific piece of the UI. It doesn't waste time recompiling the entire database package.
Which keeps the CI/CD pipeline incredibly fast.
And a fast continuous integration pipeline is vital for reviewing those pull requests we discussed earlier. If a core maintainer has to wait 45 minutes for the test suite to run every single time someone submits a PR, the project just stagnates.
Nobody has time for that.
Exactly. Turbo drastically reduces that friction, allowing the maintainers to enforce their strict code quality rules without slowing down the development momentum.
It's so smart. And there's one operational detail in the repository that I thought really highlighted how seriously they take deployment stability.
What's that?
They utilize a script command, yarn syslink, for managing their environment variables.
Oh, yeah.
Because in a complex application, you have all these secret keys, right? Database URLs, API tokens, authentication secrets.
Right, the sensitive stuff.
Yeah. And instead of trying to manually copy .env files into every single package directory, they use symlinks to map a single root-level configuration file across the entire application.
That is a highly sophisticated approach to environment parity.
It really is.
It guarantees a single source of truth for the application's configuration. Because desyncs between the front end's expected environment variables and the back end's actual environment variables.
Mm.
Well, that's a notorious source of catastrophic deployment failure.
Oh, absolutely. By enforcing symlinks from a root file, they completely engineer away the possibility of a configuration mismatch.
The application either has the required keys to boot up or it doesn't.
Right. It is basically another mechanical barrier against vibe coding. You cannot casually guess at configuration setups.
You really can't.
But let's connect this highly technical architecture back to the business reality for a second, because on their marketing page, there's a section highlighting the official sponsors of the project, and the names listed are Vercel, NeonDB, and Cloudflare.
Wow. Which are the exact components of the technology stack we just talked about.
Exactly. And this is a crucial detail for understanding the modern software landscape. These companies aren't just tossing grant money at an open source tool out of goodwill.
Well, of course not.
They are the literal infrastructure providers. Vercel is the company behind Next.js and Turbo. Neon provides the serverless Postgres. Cloudflare manages the edge storage.
So the developers of Invoicely are proving the viability of their software by running it on the exact same enterprise-tier infrastructure utilized by Fortune 500 companies.
Exactly. It immediately validates the project for, say, a skeptical IT director.
Right. Because you're getting a billing tool that leverages the highest tier of global cloud technology, orchestrated by a developer community that demands absolute code rigor.
And it's all wrapped in a visually stunning interface that reduces client friction.
It's quite the package.
It really is. I mean, we started by looking at a tool designed to fix the simple localized problem of ugly invoices. But what we actually found is a masterclass in modern secure software development.
Yeah, the architecture physically demands data protection, type safety, and deployment stability.
Right.
It shatters this false dichotomy that businesses have to choose between beautiful, user-friendly software on one hand, and secure, privacy-respecting tools on the other.
Exactly. You do not need to surrender your financial data to a proprietary ecosystem just to send a professional bill. Which brings us back to the incredible value proposition for modern organizations, and I think it's the perfect moment to close the loop on our sponsor, SafeServer.
Perfect.
Think about the sheer operational leverage a business, an association, or a nonprofit gains here.
Yeah.
By transitioning away from expensive, locked-in proprietary ecosystems like Microsoft Dynamics or those Google Workspace add-ons, you are achieving massive, immediate cost savings on your monthly SaaS fees.
And beyond the budget, you are gaining absolute control over your operational foundation. You own the data, you dictate the compliance standards, and you manage the infrastructure on your terms.
Right. And SafeServer specializes in making that exact transition seamless.
Right.
You can commission them for expert consulting. Whether you want to implement the exact billing software we analyzed today, or if you need assistance sourcing and deploying comparable open source alternative that are tailored to your organization's specific workflows.
They've got you covered.
Exactly. They ensure you get enterprise-grade performance running securely on EU servers. You can explore their consulting and hosting solutions over at www.safeserver.de.
Shifting to this model is just a profound operational upgrade.
It really is. So here's something for you to chew on before we wrap up today. Invoicely isn't just a free billing tool. It's effectively a Trojan horse.
Oh, I like that. How so?
Yeah. Well, infrastructure companies like Vercel, Neon, and Cloudflare are sponsoring these open source projects because they realize the most effective way to convince enterprises to buy their massive cloud infrastructure isn't through traditional corporate advertising.
Right. It's not billboards.
Exactly. It's by giving developers phenomenally designed, free open source tools that are built perfectly on top of their tech. The software itself is free, but the underlying infrastructure is the real product.
Wow. That's a fascinating way to look at it.
Right. So the next time you assume you have to pay a massive premium just to get enterprise-grade business software, realize that the landscape has shifted. The tools you need might already be out there, fully open, incredibly secure, and just waiting to be deployed.